Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 2. Mark, chapter 2. I want to talk to you about looking beyond the visible. Man, see a lot of things in our world, see a lot of things that aren't right in society. My friend, if we can see God, He's not visible as far as we can see Him with the naked eye, but we can know that He's here. Praise the Lord. Looking beyond the visible. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he says to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take your bed and go your way to your house." And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. I want your presence, God, more than anything. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit make your word a real and alive to us today, as only you can do. I just pray that your mighty work, your mighty will be done in the ministry of the word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Looking beyond the visible. Just starting out here, when it comes to marriage, you can't possibly know everything about a person before marriage. Would all married people agree? Three of you are honest. But when married, the invisible becomes visible with life experience. I married a couple of years ago, and it wasn't any of you. But they came to me, or she came to me one day, and she said, "What kind of man is this?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "What kind is?" She said, "I think he's a caveman." I didn't respond. I wanted to say, "I think he married a cave woman too," but I didn't say anything. They thought they knew each other, but they really didn't, because things that just they didn't see beforehand. All I could see was love and looks. But now they begin to experience reality. Jesus was visible, but the healing was invisible until who Jesus was visible. And he preached the word to them. And it says that in verse 2. He preached the word to them. He preached the truth. He preached the love of God. He preached hope to people who were hopeless. He preached grace. He preached the message that God was reaching out to helpless humanity. And the message that God could do what no one else could do. And they needed to meet Jesus that day. They didn't need to meet religion. They had plenty of that. They didn't need to meet a list of rules and regulations by which you could be saved if you weren't really saved. Or if you failed in one point, you were guilty of all. And Jesus went past the legalisms, and they needed to meet Christ. They needed to meet the Son of God. And he alone has the authority to forgive sins, as they would learn. Amen. First of all, let's deal with the need to reach Jesus. These men that carried their paralytic, paralyzed friend, they knew Jesus was the answer. Perhaps they had heard of his miracles, signs, and wonders that he had performed among the people, and he went everywhere healing the sick and casting out demons. And so, they knew Jesus was the answer. And maybe they had tried everything else for their friend and tried every suggestion that people had. That would be a job in itself. That what they should do for their friend who was paralyzed. But let me ask you something, friend. How many times do we run to everything else except God in prayer? We may try sharing with our friends and family things that are happening, why things aren't okay. And that's okay, but they're really not the answer. Let's learn to do what God says to do when we're in trouble or when we're facing a situation we need God's help in. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, not some, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your steps." So we can go to God. Amen. That should be our first reaction of a Christian. I'm going to carry this to God in prayer. I'm going to take this to God. Amen. So we see here this man's condition was incurable. He was paralyzed. He would live and die hopeless unless they could reach Jesus. Amen. And when it comes to the physical things, it's very difficult for you and I because we want to think everything's going to be okay and assume it'll be okay quick. It's not always okay quick. But we have to come to the conclusion or understand that this life is not forever. Our physical life here, thank God for it, and I believe God blesses it, gives us health and strength and grace and so many things, but it's not forever because we will one day go as it's appointed a man wants to die. It is, and it's going to be me one day. It's going to be you one day, but that is something God will help us with. You don't have to die alone. You can die with Christ in your heart. Amen, and you're just graduated to the better world, better life. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart or quit or give up. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." I'm going to tell you something. Everything will pass. It may not seem like it quick enough for us, but it will pass. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We need to understand, every time discouragement, despair, or depression comes in your life, just remember, we're not here forever. This is not our final destination. It's not our home, but God has prepared a place for you. I want to tell you, friend, we're a people that are looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're not here to stay. We're here to go through this life, and we're here to graduate to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in heavenly places. I want to tell you, friend, the best is yet to come for the child of God. But I know in the here and the now, we want to reach Jesus, and Jesus is available in the here and now. And so the friends here of the paralytic, they refuse to lose hope, and they let faith lead to works. Praise God. I know we're saved by faith and not of works, all that. But there is such a thing as works. They let their faith lead to works. The Bible says faith without works is dead. A faith that doesn't do anything is a dead faith. But true faith leads people to works. Amen. You can't work your way into eternal life. You can't work your way into salvation. You can't work your way into forgiveness of one sin by something you could do. That's all the grace of God. That's the work of God. But God, when you're truly born again of God's Spirit, your faith is going to show. And these friends here, the paralytic, their work would not be accepted by others. There were people in this house. The house was full. They didn't want any disturbance around. No, the people in the house didn't. They were barely there, and they had, you know, standing room only, probably, so to speak. And they were listening to Jesus. They were listening to the Son of God. They were listening to the King of Glory, praise the Lord. And they didn't want somebody trying to tear a hole in the roof while they were listening to Jesus. And no doubt these friends of the paralytic, they would be criticized by the crowd around, but that didn't seem to matter. Faith led to works, and they began to uncover the roof and do whatever they had to do to get this man to Jesus, because that's where he had to get. If there was going to be change in his life, he had to get to Jesus. The same as today. They might have been critical. They were there. Yes, there were criticizers in the crowd. And the crowd maybe didn't care about the man's condition. They may have seen him before, seen others like him. But they were set on hearing Jesus, and that was good. But these men had faith. They wanted to get their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They knew he could heal. And let me tell you something, friend. It's foolish to judge when you haven't walked in the person's shoes or haven't had their sickness or their injury and hadn't been where they've been. It's easy to be critical about something you know nothing about. Perhaps some of the crowd was this way. But this man was paralyzed. He was unable to move. And if you can put yourself in that situation right now, then you might understand. I pray to God nobody's ever here is paralyzed. You may be paralyzed in some way or some form or fashion in your life. Maybe you're mentally paralyzed. Maybe you're physically paralyzed in some area. But it's not fun. I've been paralyzed momentarily for some time. I'm not now. It never got to my mouth. My mouth's not paralyzed. But think about it. This man was unable to do anything for himself. He depended on friends. He depended on family. He depended on somebody to help him. Probably depended on begging at the temple to receive money to eat. And so their one goal here was to reach Jesus. Their works could only take them so far. Faith must be exercised. You know, and so if you believe, you might have to exercise faith sometimes. Praise the Lord. I believe God can do anything, but are we willing to pray and ask Him to do what we want Him to do or we need Him to do? In the book of Hebrews, it says that faith without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. They must believe that Jesus had the power over this paralysis. They had heard about this miracle worker. They'd heard about this Christ, no doubt. And now they had to get Him to Jesus. They would let nothing stop them. It didn't matter what people said or what people thought or what people or what news might have come out of this. They were going to get their friend to Jesus, because without that he would go on and live in the miserable condition that he was in. Let me tell you something today, friend. There's things that we can do nothing about physically, but God has power today over government. He has power over perverted people. God has power over teachings that are wrong. We must trust God, that God is a holy, pure, and sinless Savior to guide us into love and guide us into His eternity. Praise the Lord. And Jesus had authority over all things, over disease and over all things that there were. This were impossible to man. And church, you and I must learn to live. Let's take these men getting their friend to Jesus for an example. We must learn to live by faith, to walk by faith. That's not to sit around and imagine what you want God to do for you. And perhaps if you imagine hard enough or think about it or say it long enough, it'll eventually happen. No, but we didn't trust that God has got it taken care of, and God can give you assurance in your heart that He's got it taken care of. Amen. Hallelujah. And we must learn to live by faith, not to trust in self or only temporary solutions. But we must trust the Creator of the ends of the earth. We must trust Jesus. We must get to Jesus just as these people wanted to. And Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth." There's never been a sickness or a disease or a cancer cell that Jesus didn't have authority over. He has power to do mighty and powerful and wonderful things today. And I'm glad I still believe in divine healing and divine deliverance. I believe still in signs and wonders and miracles of deliverance. I know that God, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He once did, He can still do. He will always be able to do what He once did. He's God. He hadn't changed. He's powerful. Now I want you to know, we can keep on trusting Him even though you may not see the results that you would like to see immediately. And we're challenged to believe God. Scripture's been misused a whole lot, but Mark 11:22 says, "Have faith in God. For whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." Get me wrong. Faith people have turned this scripture and used it in a wrong way and have deceived many people into thinking that they were going to get their way about everything and things were going to materialize in front of them if they thought hard enough or believed hard enough or prayed hard enough or repeated certain faith phrases, end quote, that they had heard enough. But the Bible does challenge us to believe God, to trust God. If you're going through a trial, if you're walking through it, don't think you don't have any faith just because you're going through it. You trust God to walk you through it. Amen. We want to trust God to walk us around it and to avoid anything that might happen in our life or anything that's hard or difficult in our life. As if I really had enough faith, I wouldn't be going through this. Let me tell you something. God walks the dark hills. God's there, and God has suffered, and Jesus has suffered everything that mankind could suffer, and he suffered for our sins, and he knows what it is to walk through things. And friend, he is more than able to walk you through whatever you have to go through in this life. You just hold on to Jesus. You just keep trusting God. You will meet him there because he's not absent. Praise the Lord. Second, we see that Jesus saw everything. Everything was visible to the Son of God. This was not just another man, not just another great teacher, not just a religious person. This was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man. In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." For you see, he saw, you know, people are standing around thinking, he's a paralytic and you're talking about sin? Doesn't Jesus see that this man needs healed? Jesus saw this man's hopeless condition in the natural, but he saw in the spiritual. Man's greatest need was to deal with the sin problem and be forgiven. And he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And his greatest need was to have his sin dealt with. And he also sees our need. And you can die sick and go to heaven if you're saved and have eternal health and eternal life. But you can't die lost and go to heaven. Man has to be dealt with. Man's sin problem has to be dealt with. There's an old song, Dottie Rambo wrote it, I think. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Thank God he can look beyond our fault and see what our great need is. And Jesus saw everything in this man. It was like the piercing eyes of the Christ could look through the man's heart, his soul, his spirit, his inner being, and see everything. As an open book. And he see the man's sin problem needed to be dealt with. And so he saw everything. And he looks beyond our fault. He sees our need today. Our greatest need today isn't better self-help books. Not seminars on how to build self-esteem. Most of the church just needs to pray through, confess their sins, and repent of their idolatry. And idolatry is things that are put in front of God. And before God, or become more important than God. It can be idolatry, it can be anything. So you don't need to let anything come between you and God. You need to have God seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we got to do. Amen. But you can get bowed down or discouraged over things that happen. If you don't mind me sharing a personal experience, I'll share it whether you mind or not. But when I was pastoring my first church, you know, I had just got laid off of a job, and I didn't get fired. I got laid off, and I asked the man that for the company came to tell me, he said, I'm going to have to let you go, Ken. I said, "Well, Mr. Westbrook, have I not done my job well or something? Did I do something wrong?" He said, "No." He said, "You've been a great employee," and said, "I hate to do this, but said we've just run out of work, and I have to let people go. Because we've got more people hired and pay them money and wages than we are making money out here." And so he was very nice, but I nicely lost my job. And so I was discouraged. You know, I had a family to provide for, had a loving wife, still have one, and same one. And I had about a 2 or 3 year old son that I needed to provide for. And I needed a job. Church paid a whopping $50 a week, and I wasn't living it up. But I was okay, you know, and I became discouraged about that. And you say, well, things don't happen to preachers. They do. They're as human as you are. Amen. Amen, Ken. I remember can I be just real personal with you? I broke out in an itch. I mean, you couldn't scratch enough to reach the itch that I had. Don't turn that into something else, okay? But it was that way for a couple of days. And I said, God, what's wrong here? After a while, I began to pray, and I realized it was a spiritual problem. I was under the attack of the enemy, making me think I wasn't worth anything, and think what you want to. But anyway, I kept thinking that way. And after a little while, I realized this is a spiritual battle. And so I went down and applied for a job as an electrician's helper. There, they were doing an add-on to the church in El Dorado. I mean, the school in El Dorado. And the man that was over there, and the head electrician, said, well, what do you want? I said, I want a job. He said, can you do anything? I said, yes, I can work hard. I know a few things. I can read your blueprint, and I can put in the wire where it needs to be, and I can bend pipe and run wire. That's what an electrician does sometimes. He said, okay, we'll try it. I said, okay, I'm ready to try. And the Lord helped me there, and I stayed employed with that company for quite a while. And but you see, I went through that, and God responded with a local job. A lot of people pray today, they just need God to answer with a job. But God saw beyond the visible, and I had to believe that He would provide, that He was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see and the Lord will provide. And here this man, here this paralytic, his condition was bad, perhaps painful, without hope in the natural, yet there were sins that would lead him to eternal suffering. He needed the sin problem dealt with. And Jesus saw the sin. Jesus saw the need that was greater than his physical condition. He realized that sin was the cause. And I'll tell you, sin is the curse of sin is in the world. It is the cause of sickness, disease, and death is sin. And it's not necessarily one's personal sin, however it can be. And so, but I don't know what the cause of this man's sickness, his paralysis was. Maybe it wasn't sin, maybe it wasn't. Or maybe it was, or maybe it wasn't. But laying that aside, Jesus is still the healer. And sin is the cause of many things in our world. It's the cause of violence. It's the cause of lawlessness. It's the cause of wickedness of mankind. Sin leads us down a path you don't ever want to go down. You don't want to stay in. You want to walk with God. You want to proceed and live in faith that God is able to do anything and everything. And sin can only be dealt with spiritually, but thanks to God, Jesus, the cross, and the blood, the sin nature can be dealt with. The Bible tells us, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, He walked the path for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There is a lot of things that happen in our world we can't do anything about, we would like to do things about, but I want to tell you, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you know Christ, you've confessed your sins, you've given your heart to God, you're accepted in heaven, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're on your way to a better world and a better place and another in an eternity with a living God. Hallelujah. And Jesus reached out to this man, Jesus, knowing shortly that he would deal with man's greatest crisis, the crisis of sin. He would go to an old rugged cross. He would pour out his soul into death, it says in Isaiah 53. And there would be no one to stand in with. He would die alone so that you and I would never die alone. And he would have the authority to lay down his life and to take it up again, which he did, both. But we see here the need of the religious crowd. The religious crowd here in Jesus' day, they never preached confession of sins. They never preached death to self. They never surrendered to God's will and purpose. The religious crowd were more relying on getting accepted and recognized in society more than anything. They didn't pray at home in their prayer closet. They prayed loud prayers on the street corner because so everybody could say, wow, aren't they religious? And they were greatly angered at Jesus' reply. Verse 7, some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? You see, their faith really wasn't working, because if they could have seen Jesus' miracles, they would have believed he was the Son of God. So their faith wasn't at work. And so they were angered at Jesus for telling the man his sins were forgiven, but it would cause them to see their need was the same. Though full of religion, they had sin issues that needed to be dealt with. They saw themselves beside a truly righteous, holy man, the most holy, righteous man that ever lived. Jesus' presence alone convicted them. It doesn't say here, they didn't say much. You know, people that talk, if they just wouldn't say much, if they don't have much to say. And so they didn't have much to say. But Jesus perceived their thoughts, was able to look up on the inside of them and see what they were thinking. And he said, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? He knew what they were thinking. They had religion, but they didn't have relationship at all. They could have. I realize this was before the cross. But in the Old Testament sense, they could still have relationship with God. And then we come here that Jesus would prove who he was. He would prove, they would see proof of his power. They would see that he was the Son of God. And Jesus showed his power over the natural sicknesses and the spiritual sicknesses as well. And it would be proof he could forgive and heal. And here he says them, why do you reason in your hearts? He said, which is easier for me to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know. You see, they were going to see, the invisible was going to become visible. Yeah. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to atone or forgive sins. He says to the paralytic, get up, take your bed, and go to your house. Probably a man that had never walked. At least he hadn't in some time. He was paralytic. Man, I'm amazed when I see what God can do. I'm encouraged when I hear Johnny Erickson Tata speak. She's paralyzed from a diving accident when she was a kid. But she's kept on serving God faithfully, kept believing all this time. She's never been completely healed of that. She will be one day in heaven. Amen. But she preaches Christ, lives Christ, and if you think of her, you think of Christ. Because God has revealed himself powerful to that one where she can be a minister of the gospel even to our day. No doubt has encouraged thousands of people. Amen. And Jesus said that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. He says, just get up and walk. And he did. And Jesus showed authority over both natural and spiritual things. The man's sins were forgiven, and he was also healed physically at the same time. I want to tell you, friend, if you can walk in that man's shoes, wow, how could he not be praising God and worshiping God? I mean, I have a feeling he told it everywhere he went. Praise the Lord. And that's what God does when he heals us or touches us. Amen. That doesn't mean you don't have any faith if you didn't get all your healing. It just means that you need to trust God and keep walking with him no matter what. How much proof is needed to see Jesus is able to deal with all things? To see he is the answer to everything, to all things, not just to some things, but whatever you face or whatever you will face, and now and eternity. You've got a Savior that will walk with you, walk you through. Amen. I can tell you that by experience. Many of you can. Whatever you go through, just trust God with all your heart. Amen.